Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we are learning the Zaisa Bracha Shvi, the last Aliyah in Parshas Zaisa Bracha, and really the last Aliyah in the Torah. This is a dramatic closing to this Parsha, this Sefer, and the whole Torah. We hear about now the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Our Aliyah is only 12 psukim long, running from Perek Lama Dalet, Pasuk Aleph to Yud Beis. The basic summary is as follows. Moshe now goes up to Har Nevoi, goes to the top of the peak, overlooking Jericho, and Hashem shows him the whole land from Gilad until Dan, from the south until the north. And Hashem reminds him that this is the land which was sworn to the patriarchs, but you are not going to get into it. Moshe, the servant of Hashem, then passes away there on that mountain, and he was buried there facing Baal Peor, but no one knows where he is buried until today. Moshe was at 120 years all the time, but he never lost any of his vigor. At which point, when he passes away, we hear that Israel weeps for him for 30 days, and then Yeshua picks up the mantle and becomes, because Moshe Rabbeinu had given from him to it, and becomes the leader in his stead. The Torah then emphasizes, there's not going to be any other prophet like of the magnitude of Moshe Rabbeinu in Israel, who knew Hashem and spoke to Hashem face to face, who did all the wonders in taking Israel out of Egypt and into the eyes of all of Israel, and they call Yisrael. A few basic points to ponder as we look at this Aliyah. Number one is, it seems that we do know where his burial plot is because the Torah is very specific about it. So why is the Torah telling us we don't know? So although the Torah does tell us a general area, which it seems to be in the area of Jordan, just by the top of the Dead Sea, and in fact there is a nice tourist site there, but nonetheless, which they claim to be, it certainly isn't. But nonetheless, this is not the burial plot of Moshe. Why is this so important? The Ralbag says is because here you have the prophet accepted by the world's three greatest religions. Right, Judaism and its daughter religions, essentially, Christianity and Islam, which took their teachings from the Torah, or the parts they liked from the Torah, and they all respect Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the prophet of all prophets. Imagine if we did know where his burial was. Well, that would turn into another religion as well. Then people would start making pilgrimages, and it would become a holy site in and of itself, and there would be religions around Moshe Rabbeinu. That was not what God intended. So Hashem said, therefore, it's not going to be known where his burial is. He's going to remain an idea and not something physical, which is one of the weaknesses of human beings, is taking ideas and concretizing them into only ritual objects. Now, let's move into another question, is why is it important that no Navi is like Moshe? Why is this so important that the Torah closes this way as well? The Malbim points out, there is therefore no other prophet who can produce an idea which will be in contradiction to the book of Moshe, the Tfar books of Moshe. Even Nevi'im and Ksuvim cannot say something which is contradictory to the Torah. No prophet, no matter how great, will ever be able to contradict the Torah as well. In the words of Rav Hirsch, all this stands for all time, warningly against every external power against Israel, every internal and every internal pertinence towards or defection from the Torah in Israel, which would estrange Israel from its calling and thereby endanger the work of the mission of Moses. So the Torah closes essentially laying a seal on everything that has been said. Nothing can contradict this as well. The Rachaim does make a point, is that ultimately the power that Moshe Rabbeinu derived was because of the power of Klal Yisrael, because of the magnitude of Israel at that time, which was never to be matched, which is gave him the energy of the leadership at the time as well. A very important question which is asked is, who wrote these last eight psukim in the Torah? Ibn Ezra, in fact, goes so far as to say that it refers to the last 12 psukim in the Torah, because that's when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain. The challenge that we have, of course, is, could Moshe write about his own death? So the Gemara Baba Basra on Daf Tesvav and Aleph debates this point as well and presents a machlokes tanaim. The sages disagree. Rabbi Nechemia says, Yehoshua had to write the last eight psukim in the Torah, which is when Moshe died, because he left off then. Moshe did not write about his death. Therefore, although the entire Torah was written and dictated by Hashem to Moshe, this part of the Torah, the last eight psukim about his own death, were not. They were written by Yehoshua. The Gemara says, wait a second, but we know that the Torah is complete, and if it's lacking even one letter, then that's considered invalidated Sefer Torah. So how could it be that eight psukim were not written by Moshe Rabbeinu directly from God? So therefore, Rabbi Huda's opinion was, no, Hashem dictated even the last eight psukim, and Moshe wrote it bedema. What does bedema mean? Usually understood, the Mefarshim say it means in tears. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote about his own death in tears. He foretold his own death. What a painful experience, what a dramatic way to close the Torah. However, there's another way of understanding this, which is rendered by the Vilna Gaon, Rav Eliyahu of Vilna. He says a very beautiful thing, and that is like this. We know that the Torah actually predates the creation of the world. What's called in the terminology, Histakel bo'oraisa ubora omashem, looked into the Torah and created the world after it, which means to say that the Torah, which is an expression of the will of God, predates the world. So how could that be if the Torah is describing a history within the context and confines of this world? So the Ramban explains, actually, that the Torah is expressed in a primordial state, whether it be black fire and white fire as ideas, or is a string, an algorithm of the different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, different powers and permutations of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. That being the case, what happened at the time of Matan Torah was Hashem cut up those different chains and algorithms into spaces of words that formed one expression, which is called the narrative of history, or the narrative of guidance, mitzvos, and stories that we have today. But that's only one permutation of the string, of the algorithms of letters that the Torah is. What it means to say when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu Kosov Bedema, that he wrote it Bedema, comes from the word not Dema as in tears, but Melea Schov Dema Acho Loita Acher, refers to a mixed pile of grain. The word Dema can mean something which is confused, something which is not yet cut out. And that's what happens. Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to write the string of letters for the end of the Torah, but he did not divide them into the words yet because it was not the right time to reveal it. Only after his death were those words cut into the words they are and given, well, called one permutation of meaning, as in the narrative that we have in the Sefer Torah. That was what happened later on. Very profound perspective to unfolding of history. Finally, one last idea which is worth considering as we close, and that is we know that the last letter of the Torah is the word Lamed. It says, La'enei kol Yisrael, that's a Lamed. The first word in the Torah is a Beis, which is therefore put together is Lev. So the Torah ends with the word Lamed and starts with the word Beis. But I once heard a very beautiful idea, and that is if you look at the three letters before the Lamed and the three letters after the Beis, so that means to say, if you look at the word Bereshis, the word after the Beis is Rosh. The three letters before the Lamed of Yisrael is also Ayin Resh Shin, which is also a permutation of the word Rosh, which means to say that the Torah essentially from beginning to end is a loop, and the loop is connected through the heart, the lave, and on either end of the heart is the head, the Rosh. And therefore the Torah requires thinking about, but also experiencing and feeling about as well. It's not enough just to think. It's more important to feel and think together. V'yadata hayom, you should know today, v'ashevoysa elavecha, and return it to your hearts. With this, we conclude the seventh aliyah, the parsha of Ezos HaBracha, the Sefer of Devarim, and the five books of the Torah. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazak. Have a wonderful and meaningful Simchas Torah.